Hey everyone, this is Ellen Rogan, your host of today's edition of Horse's Mouth Advisor Radio, and I'm here to interview guests who have great information to help you be more successful in every area of your life, especially your business. And today we have such a really wonderful guest, and I'm so excited about this show. We're going to talk about our vocal presence, how to sound powerful, whether you're doing presentations in front of large groups, or it's just a matter of when you're meeting with clients to be more persuasive in your communication. And I think this is such an important topic for advisors. You know, many of us do presentations as a way to get more clients for our business. That's certainly how I grew my business initially. And or if you're not doing that, it may be that you're introducing a guest speaker at a client event, or you just want to sound more persuasive and powerful on your one-on-one conversations in small meetings with your clients. So that's what we're talking about today, and I'm really excited about our guest, who is Cindy Ashton, and she is a speaking, voice, and presentation skills trainer. She's a singer and entertainer and a speaker with over 15 years' experience. A really cool thing about Cindy is she's received awards from both President Obama and the Queen of England for her volunteerism. I mean, I just love that. And has appeared in multiple media, including Metro News on the front page of the lifestyle section of the Times and in Performance Magazine alongside Donald Trump. So, hey, Cindy, welcome. I'm so thrilled you're here with us today.
Thank you so much, Ellen, for having me. I'm so excited we get to spend the next half hour together. So
yeah,
fun.
Me too. So tell me a little bit about why you're kind of more of an unconventional speaker trainer.
That's a great question. Forbes magazine in 2012 had an article that came out about speaker trainers and coaches, and quoting from the magazine, they said, "For those of you who've been through speaking training, you leave feeling less authentic than ever with piles of correct postures, gestures, and scripts to perform." And so I'm unconventional because what I know from being, you know, doing this job for 15 years, and I have a degree in relaxation therapy, is that the stress that we hold in our body directly influences how our speaking voice and our body language reads. So you can, you know, we all have stress in some part of our life, and it shows up in our body, and it subtly influences how our presence and how our voice and body comes across. So you can pose and gesture all you want, but for example, right now I have stress in my chest, and so I'm automatically louder, and I sound like I'm pushing, and it's very aggressive, and this would totally turn off a client. But if I know that I've got stress in my chest, and I relax my chest and go back into my belly, my voice is much fuller, more rounder, and it's more engaging and doesn't push clients away. So, you know, you could pose and gesture all you want, but the stress in your body is going to directly influence how you sound and how you present yourself. So that is why I'm unconventional, no posing and gesturing.
Yeah, boy, that's really interesting. I haven't heard that before. I heard a little bit about like warming up your body before you do a big presentation, but just being that aware of where you're holding stress and how that can impact. I mean, I heard the difference in your voice. It was somewhat subtle, but energetically it was pretty strong when you were giving that example.
Okay, cool. I'm glad you were able to hear it because it's a very subtle thing. But, you know, I've had so many clients come to me and they say, you know, Cindy, I'm doing everything right in my business. I have a business coach where I'm following up on leads. But for whatever reason, why aren't I converting as much? Why is my business not growing as fast as I want it to? And it's often because there's something in their speaking voice, their body language, that is subconsciously reading to another human being. For example, I had a client back in fall where she was speaking on her vocal cords, and I don't know how to do it because I'm so trained, but I'll try. But like right now, I'm speaking on my cords, and it's hard to do it because I'm so trained. But when people who speak right on their cords and aren't connected to their voices, their voice ends up shaking. And when the voice shakes, it reads as insecure. So how are you supposed to give somebody your money to invest if you come across or you sound insecure? Now, listen, people that are talking to you aren't registering this consciously, but that's subconsciously what's happening. And they may choose somebody less qualified than you, but they just have a better speaking voice. I mean, it's all the subconscious stuff that's happening.
Yeah, so this can really influence your business in pretty impactful ways, I would imagine.
Yes, it's amazing. Back in April, I had a couple of clients fly up from Houston to work with me, and they're actually in the top 10 percentile. They're already successful. And the gentleman in particular was like, Cindy, you know, I don't know why I can't crack into that one percentile. That I'm in the top 10 in commercial real estate, but why can't I get to that one percentile? You know, there's this other guy who we're going to name Bob, and Bob is the alpha male, roaring, big chest, big man, comes out and commands a room and gets all the sales, and he's like, I just can't do that. And I said to my client, I said, and you'll never be able to do that because it's not your personality. There are some people who are naturally highly charismatic, who are naturally big presence, big energy that can command any room. But the majority of people aren't that. But it doesn't mean that they can't present themselves well. So with a lot of my clients, like, I'm not going to say my client's name, but like the client that came up from Houston, you know, what we ended up doing is, because he's a softer male, he's very sweet, very gentle. Women love him. He's very disarming. But that doesn't command him into the top 10% or into the top 1 percentile. But to try to make him into an alpha male just doesn't, it won't work with him. It will make him more uncomfortable. So I get a lot of people like that who are introverts or not naturally charismatic, but we're all magnetic in our own way. So for that specific client, what we really worked on was what I call lowering your center of gravity, which means that I'm trying to explain this because I'm so scientifically trained, it's hard for me to relate it. But people who are up in their chest, so right now I'm up in my chest, I'm automatically talking faster and I just sound more frazzled. That doesn't read well. But if we drop them into their belly, it shifts the weight of where you're carrying your weight. If we shift that weight, which is your center of gravity, down into your pelvic floor or into your pelvic area or into your belly and into your legs, it makes you come across more powerful without you trying to be something that you're not. So it gives you a groundedness or a solidness. Like when you meet somebody who is speaking from their belly versus up in their roar chest, it reads, the body language, is the body itself and the energy is much more stable and it looks more grounded and it just reads as a lot more trustworthy. And so with him, we really worked very hard on getting his energy stable because he goes into the panic and into his chest and into all that other area. And we brought that right down and it was truly remarkable to see the transformation. That he didn't need to be this big, rawr, you know, charismatic person, but he just had to be more stable in his body and project his voice more in order to command more respect, but without being something that he wasn't.
Makes so much sense. So, Cindy, what are some of the common speaking voice patterns that people have, and how do they come across to other people?
Okay, that's awesome. So some of the common ones is, a lot of people, and it's just a North American thing, I think, that we carry a lot of our stress in our chest. We're not taught to breathe properly. And so if you're not breathing down in your diaphragm and into your belly, what ends up happening is that the stress goes into our chest. So when you have stress in your chest and your shoulders, which a lot of people tend to do, either what happens is that that person has a voice like this that comes across very, very pushing, and it becomes very aggressive, and it throws people off. On the flip side of it, other people that have stress in their chest will sometimes drop their shoulders forward, and then the dropping of the shoulders forward reads as insecure, but now that my shoulders are dropped, my voice gets airy because I'm not accessing my body anymore, and this reads as insecure with this small voice up here. So those are a couple of patterns. Another pattern is people who tend to hold their breath. So I can go through an exercise in a second for people to know if they do this or not, but people who hold their breath sound like they're grieving, and they sound, and if somebody feels like they're grieving to you, it brings a big, heavy weight of sadness, and it's hard to get somebody excited about investing money when it all feels so sad and dreary. So right now, I'm holding my breath as I speak, and this comes across as very fearful because I'm holding my breath because I have grief. I don't know, Ellen. Were you able to tell the difference?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So that's another one. Another pattern that comes across and this tends to happen with women, is women tend to speak up here, and usually the women that speak up here, it's because as a child, they were never allowed to speak out. It was not okay for them to speak their opinions. So they just speak up here because they don't want to make any trouble. But here's the problem. First of all, that little voice doesn't command attention. And it doesn't command trust and security that you can actually, that this person knows what they're talking about. But on another level, a lot of women who are speaking too high up in their register, what happens is men actually tune them out. I don't know if you ever hear women complain, I don't know what's wrong with my boyfriend and my husband, he's tuning me out all the time. Well, it's actually, a lot of men don't mean to tune women out, but, you know, we're talking physiologically, men actually don't hear the same vibrations that women hear. So when a woman speaks too high in her register, men tune out, and it's not that they mean to, but they're simply, their brains cannot register the higher vibrations that are coming at them. So especially for women who want to command more attention and bring on more male clients, it's going to be important for them to ground the sound down so that they not only sound confident, but that men can actually hear them.
Yeah. No, I hear that. I hear that. I see that as more recently, especially with some recent college graduates, these young women that are coming out of school and they sound like they're 12 years old. And I'm always thrilled when they get a job because I'm wondering how did they possibly get a job when they're talking that high? Because it's, you know, like I said, it sounds like you're hiring a 12-year-old. Really interesting. So how do people remember to do that? Like, so I'm thinking, I have a tendency personally to roll my shoulders forward, and I know that it doesn't look confident. And sometimes when I really get into speaking and doing a presentation, I'm not aware of that. Like, what are some, or I imagine if someone was speaking really high or breathy, it's a habit they've developed over many years. How do you support people in breaking some of these habits or being more conscious of what they could be doing differently to be more powerful in their communication?
These are fabulous questions, and you're right. I think the key that you said is that we've been breathing and speaking the same way our whole lives. And, you know, so I'm going to give you some quick fixes right now that you can practice, but for a long term, to have long-term change, it is a routine that you have to get into practicing every single day. Now, the good news is, you know, you could do it for 10 minutes every morning when you wake up in terms of working on the voice, so it's not a huge disruption to your life, and you start to become more and more aware. But for the purposes of people listening, and I want them to be able to walk away with something, I would love to go through a few exercises that they could start on that path, and maybe if they do those exercises every day and develop it into a habit, it will definitely help them.
That'd be awesome.
So, okay, awesome. So you were talking about the shoulders rolling forward. So, Ellen, I have the same problem. I had heart surgery on both my chest and the back, and because of all the cutting and everything, it's very hard for me to sometimes hold up my body. And so I tend to flip forward a lot, and I'm like, don't do that. You look insecure. You know, I have my own body stuff, right? We all have our own body stuff. We all carry our stuff in our body somewhere. So in terms of posture, I have what I love to call the 30-second body posture exercise, and this is on my website, which we'll give you at the end of the call. But the 30-second body posture exercise, and I encourage everybody to do this before you get on the phone to do a sales call, before you meet with a client, before you go to present, before you go to network, because it's going to change the energy and change your voice in a really positive way. So the 30-second body posture exercise is this. You're going to stand with your feet shoulder-width apart. I want you to stomp your feet on the ground so you really feel, we were talking about that center of gravity and dropping it. So you want to stomp your feet on the ground and really bend your knees, bounce up and down if, of course, you've got good knees, and really feel your feet sink into the ground so you lower your center of gravity. Then the next thing you're going to do is you're going to raise your arms up to the top of your head. So it's kind of like if you were a ballerina or a ballet dancer, if you're male, you would just do those ballet arms that rise up to the top. Or the easier way to think about it is raise your arms above your head and touch your hands. What's going to happen is your ribs are going to automatically lift, and just notice where they lift to. Now, before you put your hands back down, you're going to notice where your ribs lift to because they're automatically going to lift up, but I want you to notice your tailbone, and I want you to drop your tailbone down to the floor. So just point your tailbone down to the floor. So at this point, your arms are up, your ribs are lifted, your tailbone is dropped down to the floor. Do a check of your shoulders. So if you're, you know, if you want to raise your shoulders, take a breath in, and then drop them. And do that 2, 3, 4 times until you know that your shoulders are dropped and you're in good posture. Then you're going to slowly bring your arms back down and make sure that your ribs stay nice and high. And that is good posture. And it's really quite simple to do. So your ribs are, so at that point, your ribs are lifting, but you're not, and your chest is open, but it doesn't look like you're pushing your chest out. Because a lot of the quick fixes that I'm seeing in the industry is stand tall and stick out your chest, but that just causes a whole other set of problems, and it looks like you're a duck or something. You know, it doesn't look natural. So just to go over the steps again for the 30-second body posture exercise, you want to stomp your feet on the floor, bend and bounce a few times to really get grounded. You want to lift your hands up to the top of your head, drop your tailbone, lift your shoulders up and down with breath, and let them go so that you make sure the shoulders are relaxed. Notice that the ribs have lifted up, so as you start to drop your hands again, back down, that your ribs stay nice and high, but not unnaturally high, but they're just naturally where they need to be. And that'll help you just to look more confident. It will help you to walk more confidently, and it will free up your voice to be naturally louder without you having to push the voice out.
Wow, good. Do I sound better? Because I was just doing that. If this was a video call, you guys would have seen me doing that as you were saying it.
Well, there's a slight, no, that's great. There is actually a slight difference in your speaking voice, but how do you feel in your body?
No, I feel great. I feel great.
Yeah.
And it feels a little bit like a sun salutation for those yoginis out there.
Yeah, sun salutation.
Without the bending over part, just the beginning part. So, awesome.
Well, you could bend over. That'll really be interesting in an interview.
Great. So how can someone assess whether or not their speaking voice is attracting or repelling people?
Okay. So what everyone's going to do right now, we're going to do an exercise. And again, what I'm doing is giving you guys the basics so at least you can walk away with something to start with. So the first thing you're going to do is put one hand on your chest and one hand on your belly. And I just want you to close your eyes and just notice when you take your inhale in, does the belly rise, or on the inhale, does your chest rise, or is it a little bit of both? So I just want you to take a little bit of time for the next 10, 20 seconds and just breathe normally. Don't try to breathe. And just start to notice what's raising up. Is it your chest or is it your belly, and or is it a little bit of both when you take the inhale? And then as you continue just to keep your eyes closed and you observe, I want you to notice if you're holding your breath anywhere. So the natural way of breathing is you're going to take a breath in. There's going to be a slight mini-second pause and then exhale. So between the inhale and the exhale, there will be a very, very, very minute slight pause. But notice if between that, if those pauses are being held too long, or notice within the cycle itself if you're holding your breath. So just notice that. And then the third thing I want you to notice, and then I'm going to give you the assessment in a second. So the third thing before you open your eyes that I want you to notice is your inhales. Is your inhales longer than your exhales, shorter than your exhales, or about the same in terms of the balance? So, for example, you can count. So it's like I'm breathing in 2 and out 2. Oh, cool. I'm kind of balanced with my inhales or exhales. Or you might be breathing in 2, 3, 4 and just letting it all out. So your inhale is longer, or vice versa. So just see what your pattern is. And whenever you're ready, Ellen, we could talk about what this all means.
Okay, good. I'm ready.
All right. So what we want to be doing is breathing in our diaphragm. So for those of us who are breathing and the breath is inhaling and it's going into the chest, it means that your center of gravity is higher, and it means that you're taking stress into your chest, into your shoulders. You may even be getting a lot of headaches during the day because of all the stress that's up there, because you're not engaging by breathing in through your belly and really breathing in through the pelvic floor, really deep into your lower abs. That's where we ultimately want to breathe. And I can teach you guys how to get there in a second, but I want to finish the assessment. So if you are a chest breather, you know, that's just, it's not, you know, anything to be upset about. It's just an awareness exercise because we all have stuff that we in our body that needs to be worked on. So just notice that. If you're a chest breather, we're going to go through an exercise shortly to get you more in your belly. But basically, if you have that stress in your chest and your shoulders, it could cause a headache. But also, it goes back to the patterns that we talked about earlier, about if I'm in my chest, I'm sounding aggressive, or if I'm in my chest and I'm slouching, I'm sounding very insecure. So that's usually how that shows up. If you're in your belly, fantastic, congratulations. If you are kind of half and half, where you inhale and it's going in between both, it means you're on your way, which is fabulous. If you're in your chest, I'm going to give you an exercise in a second, just hang tight. So in terms of the holding of the breath, we talked about that. For people who hold their breath quite a bit, it's really an indication. It just comes across as fearful and grieving. And again, at least until I really hear somebody's speaking voice, it's hard for me to give a full assessment in terms of where they need to improve in order to be really confident and magnetic all the time. So that's what that means. In terms of the inhales and the exhales, so on a daily basis for your everyday life, we ideally for our health, not just for our speaking, but for our health, we want to be breathing in and out with approximately the same amount of inhales and exhales in terms of the rhythm, like in for two, out for two, or in for three and out for three. We want to be having pretty even breathing for our health and for everyday functioning. Now, if somebody is feeling nervous, what you want to do is exhale longer than your inhale. When you exhale longer than your inhale, so for example, breathing in, so that was for three counts, and going nice and long. So when we're exhaling longer than our inhale, you don't want to be doing that 24/7, but what that does is it stimulates our parasympathetic nervous system, which relaxes the muscles, slows down the heart rate, and focuses our mind. So what you want to do is activate this, especially if you're in a meeting and you're feeling frazzled or you're feeling nervous about the client you're in front of, or if you're nervous to speak in front of somebody, or if you're an introvert and you're networking and you're feeling nervous. That's the time to, again, stop those feet, feel grounded, take a breath in, and then exhale longer than your inhale, and just send the energy in that breath down through the feet, down into the ground, and you just keep breathing and exhaling longer than your inhale to stimulate the relaxation response and get you calm and focused, especially when you're feeling nervous and you're with a client and they might be getting you frazzled. It's a really good way not to let the energy escalate and then you lose a client. Instead, ground yourself and get relaxed so you can refocus and stabilize the energy in the room. So if you're doing the opposite, which is you're inhaling longer and then your exhale is very quickly, then what you're doing is you're hyperventilating, and this actually puts you into fight or flight. It stimulates the opposite, which is the sympathetic nervous system. So it puts you into fight or flight. So then you start to become like a fast talker and become like really, really hyper, and then you get the holding of the breath. And again, that's how you end up coming across. So whenever you find yourself doing that, go the opposite, exhale nice and long. So there's the assessment of that, and hopefully that's given you lots of information to at least get started. I would love to do an exercise, though, for everybody, because I know we've only got a few minutes left, but I would love to do an exercise to teach you guys how to start to get into your belly so that your breathing patterns are strong enough so that you can speak confidently all the time.
Great. Good. Let's do it.
All right. You don't have any questions so far, or we're good?
No, I'm sitting here breathing.
You're breathing. I know, right? This is why I'm unconventional. People are like, oh, what do you do? And I'm like, well, I help people be better presenters through breathing. And they're like, what? And listen, I'm an opera-trained performer and Broadway-trained performer, and I've done a million productions. And, you know, so, I mean, I know the whole performing side of it, and I do actually work with people on the actual tone of their voice and all that. But for the purpose of a radio show, I want to be able to give you guys, you know, stuff that you can do on the spot and not just talk about stuff that you can't do on your own.
Perfect.
So, yeah. So here's the deal. So what you're going to do, and this is really, really, really easy to do, everybody goes to sleep at some point. So when you're lying in bed, most of us naturally drop into our diaphragm because we're relaxed at that point. So when you're lying in bed, lying on your back, if you've got a bad back, I want you to put a towel underneath your knees, and I want you to put your hands on your belly and just close your eyes and just breathe and notice where the breath is. The majority of people, unless they've got like major, major stress happening in their body or in their life at that time, the majority of people naturally, when they're not thinking about it, start to breathe into their diaphragm. Now, if you find that you're trying too hard, you may not be able to breathe in the diaphragm. So what you want to do in that case is when you wake up in the morning, you're already, because your thoughts haven't gotten going yet, you should be breathing in your diaphragm. So just start to notice that. And as you notice that the belly is expanding on the inhale, notice what that sensation feels like so that you can duplicate it. And so you want to continue to breathe in and out. And so once you feel like you're solidly in the belly, then I want you to start consciously breathing, like in for four, out for four, in for four, out for eight, in order to get into the relaxation response. So really the first step is just learning how to be connective with your body. And when you're lying there and breathing, noticing where you hold tension in your body. For me, it's my shoulders. Other people, it's their lower back. Other people, it's their stomach. And just breathing into it and letting it go. Now, another great way to get you into your belly that works for 90% of my clients is to just sit in your chair, and then I want you to flop over. So you just put, you flop right over, so you bend at the waist and you put your belly onto your thighs and you flop right over. And if you just breathe naturally, and again, don't try to breathe. The minute we put it in our head and we try, we go into our chest. So if you're just flopped over with your belly on your thighs and you're just breathing, what you're going to notice is that your lower back is expanding, your bum is expanding, your pelvis is expanding, and your belly is expanding. So it's not that you're going to go through your life lying down or bent over at a desk, but the purpose of this is just to take 5 to 10 minutes a day, or even do this 5 times a day for 5 minutes at a time, and just get used to consciously breathing and just, you know, really connect into your body so that you can learn to be, first of all, calmer in your body so that you present yourself with more calmness. But also know, once you learn how to breathe in the diaphragm, what's going to happen is the moment you start to go into your stress or your panic, or you feel like you're pushing by going into your chest, you'll recognize it. Because all this is about is to really develop the awareness you need so that you go, oh, I'm starting to push from the chest. 30-second body posture exercise, ground myself, breathe back in my belly. So what I'm asking you guys to do is, I'm not giving you the end result because most people need time to learn the first part. So the first part is to learn to connect with the belly in your body and have the awareness to know the difference so that you can start to adjust yourself as you need to when you're presenting yourself.
Great. And what I'm thinking as I was breathing is this is also a sneaky way to get people to meditate.
It is a sneaky way.
On your breath.
Well, you know, it's funny because, I mean, my degree is relaxation therapy. I mean, this is really, you're kind of getting presentation skills and stress management all at once.
Yeah, great.
You know, the clients that do work with me, we go way beyond that. You know, once they've mastered the belly, then we talk about how do you connect your belly to your voice so that it sounds open and it sounds more resonant. By the way, Ellen, your voice is gentler from half an hour ago when we started.
Okay.
You should listen back to the recording. It's very cool.
So speaking of like reducing stress, I want to make sure we talk about the question of, you know, many people get very nervous before they stand up in front of a group, or maybe it's a big presentation with a client. You're presenting something you really want them to do, or they're upset with you and you know you have to deal with that. So what are some ways to deal with stage fright if that comes up for people?
Oh, it comes up for people all the time. So the first exercise I gave all of you earlier was to exhale longer than the inhale because it stimulates the relaxation response and gets your mind focuses. But also when you start to relax and you talk slower, it actually neutralizes the people around you and gets them to be calmer and focused as well. But the other exercise I want to give you in this last minute that we've got is something that I call the sensory exercise. And this is actually for my acting, singing, dancing side of my career. And so as an actor, when you go on stage, it's important to be truthful in how you act. You don't want to be putting on a show. And so to be truthful, we have sensory exercises, which are triggers that triggers us into our emotions. And so we want to have the same thing when we're nervous or presenting. We want to be able to instantly access something that triggers us into a happy emotion and gets us out of our heads. So, for example, for some people, it's a song. So I know that before I go on stage, I'm like, I've got a feeling tonight's going to be a good night. And I'm just singing to myself, and it triggers me into the happy emotion. For some people, they look at a picture that makes them happy or the picture of a beach. For some people, it's an actual memory. So, for example, I have a client that... who's a career counselor, and what she does is she, whenever she feels nervous, she instantly has the memory, a very vivid memory of her four-year-old daughter jumping out of the closet with chocolate on her face, and it instantly gets her out of her nerves and into her joy. So it's going to be important for everybody to think about, what could I do, what could trigger me to trigger me into that emotion so that I stop with the pushing, stop with the nerves, stop with, you know, and just, and get me out of all that, that chaos and into my joy, because people are attracted to joyful, calm, happy people. So that's a, that's another technique that they could use, is to find a sensory, whether it's a picture, a memory, a song. It could be anything that triggers you into your happy.
I love that. And I,
it's fun.
Yeah, and Cindy, thank you so much. And so I'm grateful for all the good information you've given the listeners about how, you know, how they can be more effective and calm in their presentations in front of groups and clients. And I am personally grateful because I am in a few minutes going to go videotape some training videos, and I know I'm going to be much more effective and calm because of this phone call. So thank you for the synchronicity with this and all the great advice.
Oh, that's awesome. Oh, I'm so happy. You're most welcome. It's my pleasure.
So I want to make sure the listeners know how to get in touch with you. They can go to yourpersuasivevoice.com, right? That's the best place to get a hold of you?
Yeah, yourpersuasivevoice.com. And if anybody is looking to find out more about how they're presenting and how they can be more confident, I do offer a speaking voice and body language analysis that's complimentary, and it's on the site. They can find it. It's
perfect.
On one of the tabs. Yeah.
Perfect. Well, gosh, thank you again so much. And for our listeners, I am Ellen Rogan, and if you want more prosperity and success tips, you'll find them at my website, which is ellenrogan.com. That's ellenrogin.com. And until next time, the question to ask yourself is, how big of a positive impact are you willing to make? I'm wishing you success in every area of your life. And remember, be great and create great every single day.
This Horse's Mouth presentation is offered specifically for financial advisors and may not be reproduced, broadcast, or distributed without permission from Horse's Mouth. Unauthorized use, reproduction, or distribution of this material is a violation of federal law and punishable by civil and criminal penalties.